We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Steve Ashburner, NBA.com, is joining Bull and Fox. Steve, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fine, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you, and let me just start with obviously the news here that we're talking about LeBron James and Anthony Davis says fine, I'll waive that $4 million, and LeBron says, well, hey, let me give you 23, and we'll make everybody happy. What is this LeBron trying to make AD have? Is he trying to make a statement to potential other free agents? What do you make of this whole thing?
Well, geez, you know, I've been doing this long enough that I remember tales of players across multiple sports where, you know, guy shows up and he's used to wearing a certain number and he finagles a case of beer out of the guy to give it up. You know, I mean, the betting terms were a lot less than maybe getting a guy to agree to waive a trade kicker worth $4 million or something. I'll give up this number if you do that. That's a whole nother level. But yeah, I don't know. You know, look, I'm glad to hear it. Just in and of itself, from the standpoint that, let's remember, trade kickers were included in contracts with the idea that if we trade you, we'll pay you more for that inconvenience, for that hardship, for that insult, for that relocation cost, for whatever it is. Yep. You know, we've decided we're going to make a trade, and, you know, this is to soothe your bank account, if not your feelings. I don't think you should even get a trade kicker if you raise your hand and say, I want out of here. I mean, that ought to be part of the clause, don't you think, that it's got to be a team-induced trade rather than a player?
That's a good point.
Inspired deal?
That's a good point. Good point.
You know, so, you know, if he doesn't get it, I think that that's only fair. If it allows... There's a tradition. Look, when the big three in Miami first got together, Bosh and Wade and LeBron, you know, Wade particularly took a bit of a haircut. Now, you know, we'd all like that sort of a haircut. I mean, they're making plenty of money to begin with. And so if they make a little bit less here, a little bit less there, they're going to make it up in playoff money. They're going to make it up in endorsements and attention and opportunities that come their way. By being on a better team. But yeah, I mean, that's probably a good precedent for LeBron to want to see from Anthony Davis that if he's willing to come for a little bit less, now we can go to the next man that we're trying to bring in here and say, you know, how about you? Are you willing to, you know, take a little bit less for the collective effort here? I mean, that seems about right. I mean, the idea that I'm going to go to a team that has two stars already and I'm going to demand the full max, when one or two of them are not doing that, you know, take a little bit of brass. So I think it's pretty strategic.
Okay, so see, that's the question now with the Lakers. You have $32 million available, and yes, I think it's clear LeBron, Anthony Davis probably want to go after whoever it might be. Maybe it's Kawhi Leonard. But let me ask you, is that the smartest move for the Lakers? I mean, I know anybody would love any of those players. We're talking about a team right now that has no bench. You have no shooters. You have no defenders, really. How should they spend that $32 million or whatever it is?
Well, I know what you're saying. And, you know, should they break it up and have role players that are you know, really worthwhile? We just came off an NBA Finals where, you know, the Toronto Raptors were a great ensemble team. You know, Kawhi was their star. And yet, even with him, they didn't have anybody who was even a lottery pick on that roster. So to go with that blueprint of star plus star plus star and then fill in the gaps with whoever you can entice, I don't know that that would get it done. I don't know with LeBron at this age. With Anthony Davis, you know, the big men that LeBron has played with in these scenarios, Chris Bosh and Kevin Love, they ended up as number three option. And you can say, well, yeah, because there was a viable number two. in Dwayne Wade and Kyrie Irving. But I think the Lakers, you know, they need to define who their number two is. I mean, if they're going to do it with LeBron and Davis up front, that's going to be a different dynamic than anything that we've seen LeBron navigate to this point in his career, and we'll never have seen him play this old before. So I'm not convinced that it works. Now, in their case, I'd almost say they almost need a star wing type of player, certainly a well-established scoring and create, you know, play creating type of player. You know, Kemba Walker, you know, was mentioned, somebody like that. I got to think at this point in LeBron's career, he knows he can't dominate the ball and play the kind of minutes that he did in the past. You know, people have talked about the Houston Rockets with James Harden and Chris Paul and their alleged interest in Jimmy Butler. I just think that would be a horrible combination, especially if they're going to be shedding Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, P.J. Tucker, whomever, to do that. I think those two stars they currently have, and Paul and Harden, plus the role players, that's the way you need to go in their case. I just don't know if the firepower is there for the Lakers if it's simply LeBron and Anthony Davis. You know, they seem to need a complementary third piece that's not just a glorified role player. So they may have put themselves into a bind. I mean, just think if Miami back in the day, you know, if they just added Bosh and they had Wade, you know, that wouldn't have been enough. And they needed LeBron, or say it was LeBron and Bosh. They would have needed more. LeBron and Kevin Love, they would have needed that third piece, and that third piece probably would have been the number two piece. So I think that's what the Lakers are facing right now. And then they'll be in that, you know, sort of bare cupboard mode where you look down the bench and, you know, it's not that impressive. And the onus then will be on Frank Vogel and company to make sure at least one of those stars is on the floor at all times.
Can they overcome the dysfunction that has been the Lakers the last several seasons?
I don't know if they can do it immediately. I mean, everybody's going to be trying so hard. You know, we're going to be watching them. They'll be under a microscope. They're going to be straining to look relaxed and cool. And they're going to get picked at the slightest hint of dysfunction and old habits. And I think it's going to be hard. And the thing is, you better do it sooner rather than later. You know, it's possible. I guess I'd be almost surprised if it didn't happen that LeBron comes back like in the best shape we've seen in years. And he's so refreshed from not having to go to the finals for a change, having a long playoff run, that, you know, he spends it in his cryo chamber and all that, you know, gets himself in tip-top condition. But, you know, father time, you know, affects everybody. And I think that was the urgency in getting that deal done, not waiting till AD became a free agent a year from now, because that's, you know, that much less left for LeBron. So I don't know if they can just snap their fingers and be, you know, on the straight and narrow. I think that there's still issues there, front office on down. And, you know, the Frank Vogel watch is going to begin immediately for, you know, how soon does Jason Kidd or whomever start to breathe down his neck. And, you know, LeBron has certainly been involved in that sort of thing before. So, I don't think they're close to healthy yet.
Steve Ashburner, NBA.com, is our guest. Kawhi Leonard, I mean, trying to get in his head and figure out what he wants to do, what he's thinking. I mean, in one respect, he looks at Kevin Durant, even maybe looks at himself with the injury he had in San Antonio, and says, "Man, I don't want to risk it. Let me take my super max or my max deal now and go." Or does he decide to, you know, play this thing out in Toronto, maybe, you know, less years? But at least for right now, he's got a chance to win. He still has his peak ahead of him. What do you think he decides to do?
Well, you can make a list of pros and cons in pretty much every direction for him. You know, if he takes a short-term deal and gets two more years in, I guess my understanding is then he qualifies for a bigger maximum salary in terms of percentage of the payroll than if he locks into the maximum number of years right now. But I defy anybody to tell us how he's wired, though. I mean, you just can't think along with this guy because he is so enigmatic. I mean, we might as well ask the questions of the Sphinx to know, you know, what Kawhi Leonard is going to do, because it's hard to say. I mean, we all have our opinions on what we would do with the same set of circumstances, and that might have nothing to do with Kawhi Leonard's decision-making here, you know. Yeah, I really don't know what to expect. I can only say what I would lean towards a short-term contract to stay with the Raptors, and you come back out into free agency when there's a less crowded market. But that may not be what he wants, and he may have decided he paid Toronto in full for whatever obligation he might have felt for getting him out of San Antonio, and he can leave as a conquering hero, and the people there will still cheer him when he comes back into town for the Clippers or whomever else.
Steve, where does Kyrie Irving go, and is he worth it? Is he still worth that huge max contract?
Boy, you talk about a great player whose reputation has really taken a beating. It's kind of staggering to think that Kyrie Irving was thought of as the reason Boston was going to be in the finals this year, the primary reason, and he ended up as the primary reason they didn't get past the second round. I don't know where he goes. I mean, I think that he's wired to be, you know, a great individual talent on a mediocre team. But that's not going to stop contenders or contender wannabes from, you know, trying to be the team that unlocks the puzzle of Irving. You know, I always considered him, as many others have, you know, he's the best tough shot maker in the NBA. And then I watched him in that four-game meltdown against the Bucks, and he made shots tough. And you know, that's a big difference. So I think that he's got almost a reclamation of his image to factor in. I don't know whether that will show up in who he signs with or not. If he goes to the Knicks, to me it says that he wants what he wants, and that doesn't necessarily include contention for a championship. He may be happy with one ring. If he goes to Brooklyn, I think that most people consider that to be a more up-and-coming situation with a more cohesive front office and coaching staff. You know, and if that were to scratch his itch for being, you know, in New York City proper, but, you know, across the river from Manhattan, maybe that's it. Beyond that, I don't know. I can't think of a good team that, you know, the Lakers with LeBron again, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Steve, we'll get you out of here with this. Kemba Walker, rumored now, maybe the Celtics. Is this, if you're Danny Ainge, if you're Brad Stevens, is Kemba Walker kind of what you wanted to do with Kyrie, obviously were unable to do, and how well of a fit, how good of a fit is he in Beantown?
Well, I think Kemba Walker is a pretty good player, and here's the difference. When you've got Kyrie, you traded for him, and he didn't have to necessarily agree to any of your vision at all. He just knew how much time he had to put in there in Boston. When you sign Kemba Walker, you can at least look across the table from him before the paperwork is done and get him to agree to, you know, try to play a certain way to maximize his teammates. And I don't think Irving ever did that, and I think the teammates knew it, and it made for a corrosive situation in Boston. I think Kemba Walker is more ready to conform his game to the best of his teammates' abilities. Kyrie didn't need to. He'd already won a ring. So I think that's a pretty big difference. I think Kemba Walker with the UConn connection, I think it makes a lot of sense for a Celtics team that is scrambling, you know, from what we hear about Al Horford departing, you know, in addition to Kyrie. I mean, those are significant blows for that team. And I think Kemba Walker would be a pretty nice save.
He's Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. You can follow him on Twitter at AshNBA. Steve, great stuff, great conversation. Hope to do it again soon. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.